What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, hey, hemspicky, hey, hey, son, Svejson. It's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Today, we're going to chat about user-generated video content in employer branding. Let's start the show. Hey, son, Svejson. Hey, son, Svejson. Alika, where are you?
Hey, I'm right here.
So who are you and what you do?
Awesome. Well, one, thank you for having me on, Jorgen. I'm Ali Khan, the CEO of AllTrue. At AllTrue, we're really transforming the way companies humanize their employer brand, and we're doing it through employee-generated video. So we're really focused on user-generated content and how companies can leverage that within their organization. Today, we work with large global multinational companies like Dell, Unilever, L'Oreal, and a number of others as well.
So why user-generated content and why specifically for employer branding?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we've seen a few things changing the nature of the recruiting space today. So I think first of all, if you look at the space, especially in the US, right, today we have the lowest unemployment rate. I think it's hovering around 4%. And there's a big shortage of talent, right, especially on the technical side.
Yeah.
So that's one aspect. The second is that today we also have this generation that has more access to information than they ever did in the past. And so they're really demanding authenticity and transparency to learn about companies. And we've seen the way that really the consumer experience has changed with companies like Netflix and Amazon really giving you that authenticity and transparency in what you buy. And so now this generation expects that in the way that they make decisions for their careers. And that's why we feel that employees are the best voice for companies to leverage. And that's going to generate the best candidates and ideally the best talent as well.
And how did you get into this and how long have you been going? AllTrue.
Yeah, so it's a pretty interesting kind of career path that I've had. I'd say more unconventional than most in the talent space. So I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. I went to school at the University of Texas at Austin. I was a liberal arts major. And so I actually had to sneak into a career fair in order to get my first job, which was at Goldman Sachs. But the only reason I got that job was because I knew two people at the company and they really helped me to guide through the interview process to learn about the company culture. And that gave me this really unfair advantage over the other candidates in the process. And so here I was, a liberal arts major at an investment bank and doing very well, but I continuously thought about all the candidates that probably thought they weren't good enough for companies and just didn't have a shot to do so. So I really thought about the importance of connecting candidates to employees to learn more about an organization. And so that's really the premise of why we founded AllTrue, to connect these candidates to employees. We've been at it for about a year now, which the year has flown by, but we've been fortunate enough to learn from some of the industry leaders in the space. Dell is one of our clients. Unilever is as well, amongst a number of others, as I had mentioned.
Well, that's really interesting what you mentioned there about that you had some insider help, because I guess an economist would define a perfect marketplace where
buyers and sellers, everyone has full information, but that's not exactly how the job market operates, is it?
Yeah, it's not, unfortunately. And I think I think what ends up happening is companies take a lot of employee referrals, and those are very important, right? But I think we shouldn't stop there, and we should really think about how do we democratize this opportunity to one, get a more diverse array of candidates, and two, get a higher quality candidate pool. And the way that we can do that, right, is addressing candidate intent, right? What do our candidates want to learn about, and who do they want to learn from? And there's this LinkedIn study that came out last year where candidates trust employees three times more than the company to provide credible information, right? And that is a staggering statistic. I think companies are starting to notice that and notice the importance of engaging their employees in this experience.
Yeah, and I think the Edelman Trust Barometer also verifies that stat for sure. And so, video, some would argue that it has become the primary form of consumption of content nowadays. Now, I'm not quite on board with that, because when I want to consume content, I don't know if I'm impatient. I like to skip through, want to be able to scroll myself. Even if I listen to a podcast, I'll do it two times the speed. Video, then that's a bit trickier. But is that because I'm the wrong generation here? I'm not a millennial.
I wouldn't say that you're the wrong generation. I think we have seen a shift, right? I think we've seen a shift with, and we can probably credit social networks like Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat for this, where it's not just video, but it's also micro content, right? The attention spans of all of us have gone down drastically. And so I think it's really important that we're addressing that from a medium standpoint. And I think the nature in the fact that we have a supercomputer in our hands now on a daily basis, right, it enables us to watch high production video on the go, right? Has really made that as almost a second nature expectation. There's a study from Cisco that video will consume 80% of internet traffic by 2020, right? And we go to our clients and ask them if this is correct. If video is going to consume 4/5 of internet traffic by 2020, let's look at your recruiting strategy and how much of it is captured by video. And most of our clients, come back to us and say, maybe 5, maybe 10% of my recruiting strategy is consumed by video. And so there's definitely a huge opportunity to really engage with candidates and attract them, one through your employees, and then two, the medium being through video.
Right. So if we let's be agnostic. You've got a fantastic tool, but let's be agnostic and just think about a career site, a career page. What in the perfect world, what should it look like? Should it just be like a Netflix menu, or talk through it?
Yeah, sure. And this is something that we kind of geek out over every day at Altrue. So I'm sure we could even have a separate conversation on this. But I think first and foremost, right, candidates are expecting personalization, right? And they're also expecting discovery. Right. So if I have a clear question or a theme in mind on what I want to learn about, well, today on a career page, I typically have to click, 12 or 13 times to find the information that I want. And there's a fair likelihood that information will be stale and will be old. However, if you look at the way we buy on Amazon or Netflix, right? We can search and we're given recommendations based on our initial intent. And so I think search and discovery is one part that's going to be really, really crucial for companies to one, attract, and then two, convert candidates. And then secondly, having up to date content, right? Ensuring that these videos that we put, or any content that we put out there, doesn't sit there for 2 or 3 or 4 years, because the world is changing on a daily basis, and candidates are just expecting a more personalized experience.
So practically, how do you go about choosing who's going to be in videos on your career site? Is there the usual suspects? Or do you actually have to pick some volunteers when you actually point at them saying, you're a volunteer today?
Yeah, sure. So I think that's something when we launched AllTrue, we really were bullish on the concept that we had created, but we were hesitant to see if there was going to be employee adoption or participation on this, right? Mm. So when we targeted enterprise companies, one thing that we found was that there are a number of employees that are already raising their hands for efforts that are similar to these. So think about employees that are already going to career fairs or maybe already participating in webinars and understand the brand tone and messaging. That's one aspect. The second is what we've seen some of our clients do is they've started to go to their employee resource groups, right? When they are trying to foster a diverse and inclusive environment within their organization, well, there are champions internally in the company that have raised their hand to help promote these efforts. One, we're getting that diverse audience base, and two, we already have a fair number of employees to start with. Mm-hmm. And then ideally, as we scale this operation over time, we'll more employees are going to come on board and they're going to want they'll want to share their stories and experiences as well.
Okay. And the format of videos. So would you advocate shorter sort of Instagram 30-second type of clips, or are we looking at more like a 5-minute in-depth day in the life of type of scenario?
Yeah, sure. That's I'm glad you asked that. I think it is largely dependent on the theme in which these videos come in from, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think if we think about top of funnel candidate attraction, right? Trying to promote our employer brand at the very top of the funnel, well then, in our opinion and from what we've seen, the shorter videos do outperform, again, because of the shorter attention spans. And that puts less pressure on your employees as well to say, hey, answer this question or speak to your experience on this theme and make it a 30 to 40 second clip. That's very informal, right? Now as a candidate, as I go through the interview process and I'm going through my candidate experience, well, we've seen this uptick in companies wanting to help their candidates prepare for the interview process, right? So those might incorporate longer form videos, maybe 3 to 4 minutes on how a candidate can prepare for a specific type of role or a specific type of the interview process. So maybe it is a case study interview or it's a whiteboard interview for technical interviews. Those might be longer form, but those are going to be when you already have the candidates and they're going through the interview process. So I think it depends, but we definitely defer to the shorter videos for attention span.
Yeah, and in terms of production quality, would you recommend companies tell their employees to shoot this on their iPhones themselves, or would you get a camera crew in, or is there a combination there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's one thing that's intriguing for AllTrue. We even tell our clients and anyone listening to this as well, if you think about user generated content, forget about us. Like, just take your phone out and record a quick video of yourself going around the office, showing a quick tour, another video incorporating your team members and how you guys work together, and then the third just talking about a day in the life of your role. And take that to some of your employees and have them create a few videos as well. So it's something that you can definitely DIY or do it yourself to kind of test out and pilot. And I think this is what we've seen, right? I think when we think about the difference between high production videos and user-generated content, what we've seen is that there's definitely a need for both. But historically, there was only a need for the former because UGC didn't really exist until probably within the last decade or so.
Yeah.
And so I think the fact that UGC now exists and now we have companies like L'Oreal on the consumer side, right, where they used to have a commercial to sell you, let's say, a lipstick. Well, now they have an Instagram influencer that you've never heard of selling you that lipstick through UGC, right? So we can see these brand influencers within our own organization helping to sell and promote our employer brand.
Interesting. Yes. Okay. So have you got a step-by-step guide for our listeners to have some success with their employer brand videos?
Yes, absolutely. So I think kind of first and foremost, you want to think about the theme in which what you'd like to promote. So is the theme diversity? Is it university recruiting, right? Do we want to incorporate our employee resource groups? Women in tech has definitely been something that's been a theme that's been high attraction lately. So I think that's the first thing. After you identify that theme, or you identify kind of the high level EVP, well then, you know, we want to identify the employees that will be participating. Yeah. And that comes from the employees that are already going to career fairs, that understand the brand tone. There are even some companies out there that have training and provide training for their employees. Dell and Adobe, I think, are two that have social media training on how employees can promote their personal brand. So if you have that within your org, you can absolutely use that. Another idea, especially being timely here, is interns, right? So you have interns that have probably started with your organization this summer, and they are a really great source to walk through their experience for the first time in the organization, how they got to the organization, and how their summer will go as well. And you can use that for future programs. So once you identify those employees, then I think it's important to have a quick example to show them. So again, do it yourself first. One, probably have three types of videos. First is maybe an office tour. Second is explaining a day in the life of your role. And then third is explaining how you work with your team members and incorporating them as well. And then showing that as an example to employees, and then giving them a deadline to say, hey, we would love for you to complete this by the end of the week. I think having that timely deadline is really, really important. Yeah. And you can even gamify it. Maybe make create a contest out of it and say, you know, the best video will get a free lunch for the team, right? Or maybe a gift card on the company. And I think that will really promote, it'll really promote employees to actually adopt and kind of start this process for you.
And out of interest, what is the best performing piece of video content that that you've seen or that's hosted on your platform?
Yeah, so I think something that's been surprising to us has been we had a few employees really on their own. What they were doing was they were answering questions or creating content while they were walking around to the office, and even flipping the camera to show some of this, like basically an office tour while they were answering a question that had to do with diversity within the organization, for example. So I think that's kind of one, not everyone can do it very well, but if you can, I think it's something that performs very, very well. The second, I think, is when employees are sharing their personal stories, right? When so we had a client and they were recognizing employees internally for outstanding effort for the quarter. And one of these employees was being recognized for donating her kidney to an employee in the organization that she had not met yet. She hadn't even met this employee, but still had donated it because she knew there was a need there, right? And that's like such a powerful emotional story, right? And look, like your organization probably has that. But we haven't tapped into it, right? We have this army of employees that have such unique perspectives and such unique lives outside of work that we haven't yet tapped into. But I think we're trying to figure out a way to democratize that and uncover that.
So I get how you could then publish that, well, package it up and publish it and stick it in front of the right audience. But how do you uncover those stories, those gems, those kidney stories?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think the first way to uncover is how do we capture content at scale, right? Because I think historically speaking, right, companies were limited to a professional video production where they had to select two or three employees and film them when a film crew was in the office. And that captured our entire employer brand, right? Was the sentiment from these two or three employees that was probably scripted as well.
And I really hope they don't leave in the next 12 months. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And what if an employee leaves? And that's a question that we always get with Alltrue is like, hey, what if one of our employees leaves? And we say, well, we have thousands of employees. So we just kind of, you know, deactivate them and archive their content. And we sub in more employee generated content. So I think that's, that I think is really, really important to be able to get that at scale. Right. And you need you basically need an engine to get perspectives from the thousands of employees that you have. At Alltrue specifically, we transcribe all of the content. We do it all through a mobile app. So there's no emailing or uploading or downloading. It all sits in one centralized platform, and employees can do this on the go, even if they're traveling abroad. It's probably a better time for them to do it anyway. They can do that when they're out for lunch or for a walk with their team. So I think as a company, you need to figure out or really think about how can we do this in a scalable way and capture these unique perspectives. And that's where you start to get the really rich stories that you otherwise wouldn't have.
So is the lesson here that if you go for quantity, if you do a lot of stories, then some of these are bound to be real gems?
Exactly, right? It's kind of casting a wide net. Yeah. Which is a term that's obviously it's like a cliche now, I think. But I think the second step in that, Jürgen, is curating that content, right, after you cast the wide net. And you want to make sure that you have the tools and the capability to curate the best content after you've casted the wide net. I think that's where companies seem to fall short, because that is a process, right? And companies have limited human capital. They have smaller teams. And so, you know, what we do is provide the technology that enables them to curate the right content and then distribute it to the right audiences.
Well, it is funny because someone that deals in a lot of content, we produce a lot of content here, we do content for clients and so on. You just never know which piece of content is going to perform, because you're going to have some of your own darlings and your favorites, but rarely are those the ones that the audience chooses to be the most successful one. So just have to put things out there and then really promote the ones that seem to be resonating, I think.
Yeah, and I think I would agree. I would completely agree with that. And one thing I would say, I would add to that, is you have to be open to A/B testing, right? I think you have to put content out there, and you know what, if it doesn't perform, then let's sub it out and add in another piece of content. And I think, again, this is where you know, user-generated content is a relatively novel concept in this space, where, again, before companies didn't have the option to A/B test because they had one video or two videos that they might have paid tens of thousands of dollars for.
That's it.
Really was the only option.
If that was a lead balloon, then it was still going to sit there for the next 24 months. Yeah,
there was an alternative. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So let's flip it then. What are some of the pitfalls that our listeners should try to avoid?
So I think pitfalls, right? The first is ensuring that you get employee adoption. And the first step to ensuring you get employee adoption is to explain the importance of creating this content. Right? I think people on the business side, because the idea of this is to mobilize this army of employees that you have, right? And not just put it all on the recruiter or the hiring manager. And so employees on the business side, you know, they don't necessarily understand how difficult recruiting really is and how much easier it would be if they just gave a few minutes of their time. So without that context, it's going to be really difficult to get participation. The second is making the experience really seamless for these employees, right? So we're all busy. Employees on the business side are very busy as well. And so if you are, you know, if you're asking them, if you email them to request a video and then ask them to record that video on their phone and then upload it onto their computer and then attach it to an email and then send it to you, and then you have a comment for them to maybe create another video, and that's just a tedious process for them, you're not going to get the consistent adoption, right? Because sure, we can get one or two videos out of Jorgen, but you know what'd be really important is if we can get him to consistently adopt and promote to his fellow employees. So creating a process to make sure that it really only takes a few minutes for Jorgen to participate, and he sees the output of that. He sees how many people are engaging with his videos, and how many people have upvoted it, or how many hires did it ultimately lead to, and even potentially gamifying that process as well.
Yeah, my trip to Hawaii, it's up next. Yes, great. Now, how can we measure return on investment on user-generated video?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is something that I personally have learned a lot from you and your podcasts and your efforts with the EB index that you guys are thinking about. So I think that's really interesting. And I think first and foremost, we need to put a call to action on our content, right? Because, I think marketing and advertising 101, you can put content out there, but if there's no call to action, then it's going to be really difficult to track the effectiveness of that content. Secondly, I think, if we think about going back to the professional video production and companies spending tens of thousands of dollars per video or for a set of maybe three videos, we can measure the ROI on how much it takes to create a video with user-generated content and how that outperforms or underperforms a highly produced video as well. That's one. The second is, think about the time it takes, right, to produce professional video production. Think about scripting and coming into the office and spending a day or a few days, and then post video production and edits, and then getting that approved, right? That usually takes, from what we've seen with our clients, that usually takes 2 to 4 months to get a video out there, right? Which is a lot of human capital that we're asking for from multiple team members. So I think even saving the time and capturing the ROI and how much it really takes to get user-generated content is something that can be very, very effective for companies.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny I've had conversations with companies who have commissioned a video production company, film production company, to do the headline video for their employer brand. So that's $150,000 production. And then 18 months later, still haven't seen this film or this video anywhere. So it's just, you just wonder, where did all that money go? Why can't they just sign this?
Yeah. And I think, historically there wasn't an alternative, right? That's until very recently, it was just like, hey, we have to be satisfied with this because there exists no other alternative, and this is what everybody else is doing as well. So this was standard, and this was the industry benchmark. But now I think you see companies enabling and cutting into this and seeing the opportunity, right? User-generated content also promotes authenticity, right? And that's what candidates want. This is how we've been trained to consume. So it not only helps from a timely standpoint, but I would argue it helps from a quality standpoint and enabling authenticity, which is, what we've seen companies promote, especially recently.
Absolutely. Power to the people. Right. What companies are doing this right and why?
Yeah. So a number of companies have been very impressive. And I think what we have been fortunate with, and I tell my clients this all the time, I come from an investment banking background. I don't come from an HR or training or even marketing background. And employer branding is usually people that either come from HR or from marketing. And so we've been fortunate enough to learn from a lot of our customers, a lot of our clients, and even a lot of our prospective clients that aren't yet with us. So I think a few just to name off the top of my head and what they're doing specifically. I mentioned Dell and Adobe. These two companies have social media training programs for their own employees, right? So I think just kind of as a precursor to help employees selflessly build their personal brand, right? I think that's very, very important. and they've done a really great job to convert those employees and that content into their overarching employer branding strategy. So that's one. I know you had Jen Newbill from Dell on the podcast recently, so yeah. She has some really, really great insights, and we work with her as well. So it's been a pleasure to work with her. Secondly, I think a company like Salesforce, you and I were both at eBrandCon last week, or I'd say 2 weeks ago now, yeah. And Jennifer Johnston over there and her team has done a really great job with the Salesforce Ohana, I believe is how they... capture their company culture. It's a unique organization because it's an organization that has done so well as a business in the last decade and really was the first to the cloud, right? And they've been able to sustain really their greatness as a company and a business into their employees. And I think they've just built a really strong and genuine culture, right? It's really sincere when you see the user-generated content that's being promoted by their employees. Lastly, I mean, there's so many companies like EY, Unilever, J&J has a really great candidate experience with Shine. George's team over there is doing some really unique and innovative things internally. I'd say those as like kind of the five all-stars that I've seen out there, but there's so many others as well.
Very fine selection. Yes. So I would add to that, I spoke to JJ, who heads up the employer brand at Salesforce, and she mentioned that. So Ohana is the concept of, I think it believes, it means family. Belonging in Hawaiian. And so they track the hashtag Salesforce Ohana, and it just grows exponentially in people using this. And now their challenge is to filter out people who are actually not employees. So,
interesting.
Yeah, partners and companies have implemented Salesforce. They're all using the hashtag now, which is a nice problem to have.
Yeah. So, and I think, it comes from the top too. Like Mark Benioff, their CEO, is somebody that is such a proponent of diversity in the workplace, and he's always promoting, LGBTQ and equality of rights, and he's keynoting the Grace Hopper conferences of the world. And so, when it comes from the top like that, and when it's not only that he's stated it, but he's made it a priority, right, within his values of the company. I think it's very it makes a lot of sense on how that's trickled down to the whole organization and then even their partners as well, which is very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great person to follow on Twitter if you want to see some CEO activism. Right. So trends, what's up next? You guys seem to be attending every conference in the business, so you should know this.
Well, I'm learning from the yous of the world. So you're the one that's speaking at these conferences. but yeah, I'd say we see a few trends. So I think the first, and we started with this, the conversation where unemployment's at an all-time low, access to information as in an all-time high. And then, companies, especially on the consumer side, have put so much pressure on this consumer experience that candidates expect a personalized digital experience, right? So I think that's one trend that we see. Another trend that we've seen is even thematically, I think organizations have now started to think about how do we promote our organization in a less self-serving way. And what I mean by that is that we have clients that'll say we want to run a campaign that centers around career advice. And how do we get candidates into their next role? And we're not even going to talk about our company at all. It's just that the advice itself will come from our employees. And I think that is really intriguing, right? Because we're focusing on how do we deliver value to a candidate regardless of whether or not they ultimately end up at our organization. Because long term, that is going to help us as a company and help us achieve our goals. And then I think lastly, right, we've seen how technology has completely shifted this space. It's led to automation and efficiencies like chatbots, and sourcing solutions. which has been really great, which has taken out the mundane tasks that recruiters once had to perform. But we can't stop there, right? And I think, you know, now it's more important than ever to have a more human approach with our candidates and ensure that we, you know, we always hear this term of humanizing the employer brand, right? And if we just come back to the fundamentals and the foundation of that, we need to be doing that through our employees, because that's where the highest value gets driven to these candidates. So I think that's what we've seen with a few of the past conferences that we've come to, is be more human, figure out a way to scale those efforts, and then obviously figure out a way to measure the ROI, which I think we obviously have a lot of work to do on as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Great. Final question. Where can our listeners find out more about Altru, and where can they connect with yourself, Alicante?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think easiest way to find out a little more about what we're working on is it's altrulabs.com, altrulabs.com. You can also find us on Twitter at altrulabs. My personal Twitter is at alykhanr. It's alykhanr. And yeah, feel free to give us a shout. We're always interested in learning more about the space, learning more about different perspectives and how we might be able to help with what we're doing at Altru.
Great. Thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. Thank you, Jorgen. It was awesome to reconnect, and a pleasure to be on the podcast. I'm always listening to it. So I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Alykhan and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article in the show notes, which are available at employerbrandingpodcast.com, also on Undercover Recruiter. And speaking of user-generated, or shall I say employee-generated content, little over 1 year ago, I co-wrote a book with my friend Ben Donker. And it is titled Employee Advocacy, the Ultimate Handbook. And since those 12 months we published that book, it's become fairly evident that employee advocacy is one of the most powerful, impactful ways of spreading your employer brand, I think. And this book has lots of goodies, such as case studies from Microsoft, Vodafone, HSBC, Rackspace, at SAS Institute, and talking really around how to kick off your program, how to get buy-in from executive leaders, how to keep users engaged with the gamification and other things, pitfalls and checklists, all the stuff you need to either improve your employee advocacy program or to kick off a new one. So fully stacked, in other words. Now, the really good news is that to celebrate the first anniversary of the book, it's available on Amazon completely free this week. So completely free. It's available on the site until Friday, I believe, end of business on Friday. So don't wait around. Download it today. You don't have to read it today. Just get it loaded up on that Kindle of yours. Now, the only thing I ask in return is that you leave an honest review on Amazon. So take your time to read it and then leave an honest review. So if you love it or if you hate it, I'd really like to know so that we can one day update it and make it even better. And yeah, the book is on Amazon, and I think you know where to find that. Just search for the words employee advocacy when you're on the site. And also, to make sure that you stay up to date on all things employer brand, including events, podcasts, articles, webinars, go to linkhumans.com and sign up to our very purple newsletter. Just scroll down and you'll see the sign up form there on the page. And a newsletter, an email goes out today, actually. So if you don't receive it, if you didn't receive it already, you're probably not on the list. So get yourself on there, linkhumans.com. And all these links will, of course, go into the show notes. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Look forward to catching up next time. Hey-do!
What's a pirate's favorite content format?
No idea.
The webinar. preferably one that's B to C. And by B to C, I mean S-E-A. So I think the joke catches on when you can see it written out. I don't know if it quite caught on here. But yeah, I think that's a recent one that I heard that was pretty good.